I guess don't be scared to go for it. I mean, it can be done. I mean, I'm living proof. My family didn't farm, and here I am doing it. So yeah. If you think you can find a way to do it, you know, pull your pants up and go for it. I cannot get past these local beers. They taste like plywood.
Thank you for listening to the Farm for Fun podcast, a happy hour spinoff of the Farm for Profit podcast. These episodes are hosted by Tanner Winteroff, the Iowa Bankerman, David Whitaker, the Iowa Land Guy, and a random farmer named Corey. Each episode, they plan to focus on a brewery or distillery while talking about all current events and everything else. Crack a beer, mix a drink, and join on the fun. Remember, if you aren't farming for fun, we know you probably call it a grain buggy.
All right, and we're back with another Farm for Fun episode. This is Tanner Winteroff.
This is Corey Hillebo.
And this is David Whitaker.
We have an exciting week for you. We thank you for hanging around with us during Harvest and our music series. We're back to interviewing those that are related to agriculture or directly involved with it. So a cool guest for us today. But a really cool thing that we had this week, again, thank you all our listeners for leaving us reviews, kind words, Twitter, Facebook, wherever you find this podcast. Catherine Marcano Bell at Latina Farmer USA left us a review. She said, hey, give these guys a follow and check out their podcast. We really, really appreciate that.
Yeah, and I was talking to Tom Hadley, who won some of our swag that we gave away to, and he was like, I've accidentally driven by gas stations when I needed gas because I was listening to the podcast and it was just, you know, spaced off. So that's kind of cool.
I did fill a truck this morning way too full because not because I was listening to us, but just because I was listening to a podcast. So I can see where Tom's coming from.
So yeah, what's going on this week? I just saw you got done with harvest.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. This is a big day for me. The in-laws finished harvest and it's my anniversary. So I'm ready to
ding dong
crack a couple of beers and get this evening started.
Yep. Not too many before you get with your wife now.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. I got to be able to hold it quite well. But yep. Corey, you also had an anniversary this week.
I did. It was my anniversary this week as well. So not today. So at least I didn't schedule a podcast on that, but, yeah, we went out to eat last night for it, and there was no one in the restaurant. It was great.
There you go. Your own private experience.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think people want to hear us talk anymore.
No, let's get to it. Let's introduce the guest.
So we got a special guest, right?
This is a special guest.
Have you prepared for this intro?
I am. Let's see what he says.
Got the music going, right, Tanner? Is that the real music?
Oh, no, I could probably find something
better. Let's get something better. That should give it a little hint. If you're on a certain social media, that should give you a little hint who it is. All right. On today's special anniversary edition of the Mullet of Ag podcast, we are business in the front. In a small gathering of up to 6 socially distanced people with no more than 2 households in the back, just until 10 p.m. But nonetheless, we dredge forward with a true cowboy of the social media Wild West known as TikTok. He's not your typical Midwest bushlight drinking farmer. He is stuck with a special time and place in my heart to my college days where we drank Keystone Light by the 30 racks. He smokes like a chimney, will look you straight in the face and tell you like it is, hates gleaner combines, seems like a complete hard ass, but I think he's got a big heart of gold. From Shelbyville, Illinois, he is the straightforward farmer known as @GrowingCorn2020 on TikTok, @GrowingCorn on YouTube, the man, the myth, the living legend, Mr. Tony Reed.
Woo! Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Glad you're here, Tony.
Are we going to have to like take smoke breaks during this?
Well, that was discussed before we started because I said something about getting me an ashtray in here, and the wife immediately clamped that deal. So I think we can make it.
Oh, Tony, we found Tony on TikTok. We always talk about TikTok,
yeah.
Even though most of our listeners probably come from Ag Twitter. But, oh, I am so excited for this. Hopefully Tanner's got his finger on the bleep button. But
instead of the F-bomb, it was going to be the farm for profit, farm for profit, farm for fun. That's what I thought the whole time. It's just, yeah.
But Tony comes to us from TikTok and has, I don't know, 150,000 followers close to it and just makes great content on there. So Tony, welcome to the show.
And he does the weather.
And he's a weather guy.
And he's a weather guy. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So before we get to the social media side, let's talk. You are a farmer in Illinois. So just give us the background of where you came from, because he's got kind of a unique story.
Okay, so it's going to take me a little bit to get this story to make a complete circle. So just bear with me and cut in at any time that you want to cut in. Yep. So growing up, my parents did not farm, but I knew from the time I was 4 years old that that's what I wanted to do. So my grandparents did farm, but they lived 30 minutes from us. So it wasn't like every day after school, I could just ride my bike over to grandpa's and help him or whatever. You know, it didn't work that way. They lived too far away, but I did have a neighbor, who was just a really great guy. Always let me ride on the tractor anytime I was in the area, whatever, was always calling, you know, just so I kind of got my fix through the week from him. And then I could go to grandpa and grandma's on the weekend. So as we come up through the years, it was kind of one of them deals where as grandpa got older and was going to retire, I wasn't old enough to take it over. And plus, you know, I didn't live there. It was 30 minutes away and it was just kind of a logistic thing. You know, I wasn't going to really work. And so it ended up right out of high school. I knew I wanted to do something in agriculture, but I didn't know what. And college wasn't really the answer for me. So I thought, you know what? I've always wanted to go on a wheat harvest crew. That's going to be a good way to just get out of here, clear my mind, think about what I want to do and go from there. So it ended up graduated May 15th, 1998. And I was sitting in Marysville, Kansas on May 16th, 1998. Went to work for a harvest crew out there, cut wheat from Texas to South Dakota. Stayed that fall for fall harvest and was just a really great experience. So got that done and I ended up coming home and worked for the local co-op. You know, spraying, spreading fertilizer, custom ammonia, that kind of stuff. Worked there for 4 or 5 years. And that's when custom ammonia around here got really popular. And guys kind of really started leaning that way. So I'd been running an anhydrous tractor for, oh gosh, 2-3 years, whatever. And a big farmer up at Shelbyville, seen that I could run equipment and liked the job that I'd done. You know, this was all pre-GPS, you know, and this and that. And, you know, seen that I'd done a good job. So he hit me up one day. He said, hey, why don't you come to work for me?
So what do you call it when you knife in anhydrous?
We just call it putting anhydrous on around here. Okay.
I just saw TikTok something about this, so making sure I was calling it right. Sorry to interrupt.
Putting gas on.
Yeah, no, you're fine. Yeah. So I was a little skeptical, you know, because you're going from working for a big company that's a secure company that, you know, you don't really have to worry about your job is going to be there to an independent farmer. It's like, well, what if he falls over dead tomorrow? Then, you know, what happens to me, you know? So I was a little leery about doing it. And I thought, you know what? I think I was 22, 23 years old at the time. And it's like, I'm just going to go for it. Who cares? You know, it'll work out in the end eventually. So went to work for them. Really good people, had had a lot of fun working there and whatnot. And it turns out the guy that I'm working for now is their neighbor, lives just a mile down the road. And he's an old bachelor, never been married, doesn't have any kids, nothing like that. And between him and his brother and his mom and dad, they owned about 1,100 acres. And so he always done all the farming himself. Well, it was probably in the late 90s. He got into selling guns just as a hobby in the winter, you know, wasn't nothing to do on the farm, no livestock or nothing. So he started selling guns and that business just exploded. He ended up getting a website and just went to a humongous business that he never dreamed of.
Thanks, Obama.
And that's kind of, yeah. And that's kind of where his heart was in the gun side. You know, he liked farming, but it was kind of one of them deals that he was more interested in the guns. So as time went on, it got to where he couldn't do both, you know? And so he hit me up one day. We was farming across the road from his house and he hit me up one day and he said, hey, I tell you what, he said, I ain't got no family, nobody to take this over. He said, why don't you come to work for me? I'll pay you good. You come to work for me. And when I'm ready to hang it up, you can take it over. So immediately when you hear something like that, you know, you're immediately a little skeptical. It's like, right. You know, this is almost one of them too good to be true deals.
Yeah.
You know, because I had no other avenue to get into farming. And if I had to be a hired hand the rest of my life, I was prepared to do that. I mean, that's not a get rich job by any means, but it's just, that's just how much I wanted to farm. So I thought, well, I'm going to try it. You know, I ain't got nothing to lose. I mean, I'm a hired hand here, so I might as well at least go be his hired hand. And if it don't work out, I'm still right where I'm at now, you know. Mm-hmm. So went to work for him. I started working for him in February of 2008. And when I come on, he pretty much walked away from it. I mean, he's involved very, very little as far as day-to-day activities. I mean, he'll drive a tractor some, but he's a very high-strung individual. So it just like he don't have the patience to get from one end of the field to the other in the tractor. Yeah. It just drives him nuts. You know, he's got to be go here, go there, run around. So I took over from day one and was just working for him, you know. But done all the day-to-day operations, made a lot of the decisions and whatnot. And here we are now. He's on the doorstep of retirement. So last year I took a third of the acres and farmed them with his equipment, but he let me take over those acres. And then for 2021, I'm going to take another third. And basically he's down to farming just what he owns now. So after the 2021 season, then he's walking clear away from it. I'll farm it all then. And it's one of them deals. He's got a full line of brand new machinery. I mean, a guy like me, there ain't no way I could even begin to buy one tractor. You know what I mean? Because just things are so expensive. Yep. So he told me, he said, you know, he said, I have no family to leave this stuff to. He said, just use it. We'll work something out. You know, if you have a good year, you know, give me $100 an acre for my machinery. If it's a bad year, you know, maybe give me 75, you know, whatever. So we're just going to kind of work it out as we go. And hopefully everything will work good and see where we end up. So it's a very unique situation, and I'm very fortunate, very blessed to have had this opportunity. I mean, I don't have to tell you guys, most guys, they get ready to retire. They line the machinery up, call the auctioneer, take the high bid, and away they go. And I'm not knocking that. I mean, you can't blame guys for doing that either. Yeah. This day.
It sounds like the holy grail of deals that you got going. And, first generation farmer, technically, since you
– yeah.
I know.
I mean, there's not many of those.
There's one guy right down the road on Lincoln Way here that I know that did the same, and he had to pay more in taxes than what it would have cost just to get the land. He got all the land given to him, and the tax implication just killed him. But yeah, he's farming full time now.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
unique. That's what I can't stress enough. You know, I get a lot of comments on TikTok. You know, how does a guy get started and this and that? And I don't mean to speak out of turn because my situation is a little bit different than most, but I guess don't be scared to go for it. I mean, it can be done. I mean, I'm living proof. My family didn't farm and here I am doing it. So if you think you can find a way to do it, you know, pull your pants up and go for it.
Find a bachelor farmer. Hope they're into guns. hope Biden takes another run at them like Obama did and get him into guns.
Right. I guess for the record too, I don't want to give the wrong impression either, that he's just going to die and leave me everything and land and all this and that. You know, there's, you know, he's got nieces and nephews and other people, you know, so it's not like eventually this stuff's all just going to be shoved across the table to me by any means, you know, so I do want to make that clear too.
What sounds good is though, that you could almost be on the other side of their show, the Profit Show, and have a succession plan. Right. It sounds like you guys have a pretty good plan.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the neat part that I see is there are a lot of farmers. If we have young farmers that are listening to this, that the sharing of equipment is usually the way in. You know, you exchange the labor for the use of equipment. And that seems to be the most common way if it's not a blood relation. And even with blood. Yeah.
I have been talking, you know, when he bought his dad out in the late 80s, you know, he literally bought the whole line of machinery for $100,000. You know, now we got one tractor that's $250,000.
Yeah.
That's just one tractor, not counting the combine, the implements, and everything that goes with it. So, I mean, it's just tough. I mean,
yep.
All right. So we, on these Farm for Fun shows, have something to drink. And I think what we're drinking today made it all the way out to you, didn't it?
It did.
Well, you want to taste it right alongside with us?
Well, which one are we going for here?
Let's do the Torpedo first.
Okay, Torpedo.
Right.
So they stacked the deck against Dave.
They is Dole Distributing. Thank you again, Dole Distributing, for setting us up with some beverages.
And Tony's told me he's not much of a craft beer drinker either, so we should get some good comments and good faces out of this.
What is the beer of choice, Tony?
Keystone Light, 100%. That's about all I drink. I can drink Busch Light, maybe some Old Mill Light, but I'm pretty much stuck on the cheap light beer.
Yep. We used to, like I said in the intro, we used to buy it by the 30 rack in college, and that's all we drank too. And
well, I can see this is already going to be a problem because I poured it out, and it's
the head on this is huge.
It looks like it is the color of urine after you are extremely dehydrated.
Yes, it does.
And it might be a little bit thicker.
So don't kill yourself. You don't have to drink it all. Just get enough to taste it and give a comment.
Torpedo, the extra IPA.
Let's try it.
Goodness gracious.
That's not that bad.
Oh, I like that.
Look at Tony.
That is awful, Tony. I am with you 100%. Oh, man.
I cannot get past these local beers. They taste like plywood. I can't do it. I can't imagine what that would taste like the next morning. If you was to drink 6 or 12 of them, oh, man.
You'd be really drunk, too, because usually IPAs are a lot higher alcohol. So
this is the Sierra Nevada Torpedo, the extra IPA.
Hold on. Nevada, their local Iowa guy?
Yep, local Iowa.
Nevada.
Sierra Nevada. Torpedo. Our hop torpedo amplifies big aromas of citrus, pine, and herbal characters.
There's that wood taste.
There you go. Yeah,
this is even better. It started on a napkin in a pub. The idea for this to boost hop aroma and adding a little bit of bitterness. See, these are all great things for people who don't like IPAs.
Just chase it with your Keystone.
Revolutionizing the hop torpedo inspired the extra IPA. It's aggressive yet balanced beer for the complex citrus, pine, and herbal characters.
See, I don't mind it. I don't mind IPA, but yeah, it is.
I will give it this. I took a pretty big swig, and that's not as bad as some. I'm still not going to drink the whole thing,
When I drink an IPA, it's when I know I'm not going to have more than one or two.
So exactly. is Mrs. Growing Corn, is she the same in beer flavors, or is she like something like this?
She'll drink it because I usually keep some in the fridge, but yeah, she's all about, you know, all these IPAs and all that stuff. And she's a big wine drinker.
White Claws?
Oh, yeah. She does the White Claws.
No laws.
She should have had her sitting right next to you trying them, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was all about it when I opened that box. She's like, oh, my God, look at this one. Look at this one. If it was up to me, you could have them all.
But yeah. Well,
I can't do that. There you go. She can have the rest of the can. No, all we needed was for you to taste it. So that was, again, thank you to Dole Distributing for dropping this beer off. We've got a couple more IPAs and a pale ale ahead of us.
Yeah. So, all right, we got your farming story. You are large on TikTok, as I said. I remember following you.
We both did.
Yeah, I think I had like 500 followers, and you were at like 1,200 or 1,000 followers or something like that. And I was like, this guy's putting out some good stuff. It's pretty funny. He does a lot of cussing straight at you, you know, calls people out. It's basically real talk. And then I looked back, and then you're like a week or two later, like 50,000. I'm like, holy crap, this guy's going nuts. And now you're just huge. Like, so what got you into TikTok? And normally what we see for big social media people is like Ag Twitter.
Right.
Typically. Or right. YouTube or
Instagram.
You know, but TikTok has just gone crazy. So I guess give us your social media story, how that came about.
Yeah, really, it's just one of them deals. You know, a friend of mine, he's in all the social media platforms, you know, just religiously goes through all of them. And he kept talking about TikTok. And I had no idea what TikTok was. This was probably back in, I don't know, February, March, roughly somewhere near, maybe January, mm-hmm. but it was sometime in 2020. And so I got on there one night because he would send me videos via text message, you know, the link or whatever, something funny. And so he'd sent some pretty funny ones. I'm like, well, that's kind of neat, you know, seen some funny stuff. Maybe I'll get on there. So, you know, you first sign up for it and it kind of asks you what you want to search or see or whatever. And so I was just sitting around the house one night and I'm like, well, you know, of course, farming. I mean, let's see some tractors, combines, whatever. And it just, you know, just every video that come up was a tractor, a combine, this, that, you know, whatever. And so I just kind of followed along for a little bit. And I think one day I woke up and I don't know that I'd ever even posted a video and I had like 25 followers. I'm like, well, now how does this work? I mean, what are they following? I have nothing on here. So I made a video one. I'd have to go back now. I honestly can't even tell you what my first video was. I'm sure it was probably just something farm related, maybe during planting time, roughly thereabouts, you know, what we was doing that day, whatever. But I think is what really took off, and I'd have to look at the order of the videos. It was either the Kongskilde field goal elevator video, and I just completely lost my mind on what a giant pile of crap that thing was. Or the lady on Facebook that called me out for my son scooping grain in a grain bin, that he was going to match.
Yeah, that's right. That's the one you sent me. Yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah, and I haven't looked forever. That video was at like 2.3 million views the last I seen. I haven't looked for 6 months, so I have no idea where it's at now. But it was one or the other on them when every time I'd open my phone, there was literally 3,000 new followers. I mean, it just snowballed and just took off.
It's crazy when you get in those algorithms.
I'm guessing the F-bomb helps.
It's funny because I guess I started that inadvertently just talking normal. And so when I get on there now and don't insult people, it's like they're disappointed. It's like, what, no insult today?
Oh, that one didn't get nearly as many views.
Yeah, what was Mrs. Growing Corn's video? She's like, what's up, douchebags? You can tell it's not common for her to do that, but that's funny.
It don't come quite as natural to her. She just cringes every time I make a TikTok. She's like, just don't even tell me about it. I don't even want to know.
So
we're complete polar opposites on the language spectrum. I can tell you that.
That's funny. But no, that's what people like to watch. So,
well, and I think it is something too. You found something that makes you unique. You know, there. Right. Yeah, that's you. It's you being you, but you're still being unique. And right. And it is. Those algorithms, when you get roped up into one, I was texting Corey the other night. It was just us harvesting down corn, just a video of us combining through down corn. It went 3 or 4 days with, you know, maybe 1,000, 2,000 views. And then all of a sudden it must have got in a wormhole somewhere. And all of a sudden there's 50,000. Just,
yeah. Yep.
People liking it, seeing it, whatever it is. It's amazing what that app can do.
So do you like it when people give you negative comments, gives you more content to go back on?
Right, exactly.
Like, and I love Gleaner combines.
Yeah, exactly. I can gladly take the jokes all day long because, I mean, I give enough crap to people that I fully expect to get it back and have no problem with that. But the ones that just really piss me off to no end is when somebody tries to tell you how to run your operation.
Yep.
You know, that you're doing it wrong and this and that. It's like, you know, you're 3,000 miles away. How do you know what I'm doing here? You know, those just go right through me to no end. It just sets me off like you can't believe.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting part that I see on the banker side of things is the other side where people are coming in saying, I want to do this because so-and-so is doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, well, that's great, but let's go figure it out. Let's learn about it first. Take a class, you know, listen to a podcast, go to it. Well, I can't go to a trade show anymore, but it is amazing how much people watch everyone else rather than just taking care of themselves.
It is. Yeah. And, you know, we've even seen that to some degree in machinery over the years. You know, when I was a kid, everybody drilled soybeans, everybody, because that's what everybody did. And then it went to 15-inch rows. And then, you can always see these trends, even in machinery. And a guy really don't know why he's pulling it other than the fact that everybody else is. You know, and you even see that. I'm not knocking vertical tillage tools by any means. Don't misunderstand me there. But, you know, that has caught on like wildfire. And we often talk, you know, is that a fad or is that something that's here to stay? You know, I don't know. Time will tell. So it's just one of them
things. Yeah, it's even faster now with social media.
Yeah, exactly. So. And I think a lot of this stuff too, like take the vertical till, for example, I think it probably is here to stay because guys are farming such large amounts of acreage that they're getting over it faster. Mm-hmm. You know, it's quicker than pulling a 20-foot disc ripper. You're taking 40 foot at 10 mile an hour or whatever. So that's probably a fad that's here to stay. But, you know, we see it all the time. You know, I don't have to tell you guys in machinery and everything. It's just always fad.
Yep. So the biggest, I shouldn't say biggest, the latest trend on Ag Twitter is people switching over to the Parler app. Has anybody been trying to get you on Parler yet?
He probably hasn't heard of it.
No, I haven't heard much about it. In fact, it was probably a week ago, week and a half ago. I wasn't even sure what Parler was. I got off I had to leave Facebook, I don't know, about the time TikTok came about because it got to the point where it is nothing but 60-year-old women bitching about politics. Or just fighting back and forth. It got ridiculous.
Yep.
It's like, I can't handle it anymore. So I'll go to Facebook probably once every 2 or 3 days because I get 3 million friend requests. I'll confirm all them and then get right back off. But I have seen on there, you know, hey, had me on Parler or this and that. And so, I knew nothing about Parler.
I feel real special because he just did that to me this morning. I did send him a Facebook friend request. Yeah. And he, really? Yeah. See, look at that. He didn't even know I was in the group of, yes.
I always figured that was insurance in case they actually do ban TikTok. It's like, well, I can at least go to Facebook and say, hey, go over to whatever other app. And
check everybody else goes back to Instagram. So, are you guys on Parler?
I am. I am on Parler. Farm for Profit's on Parler.
Really?
I told him he better just get on there and save the name.
I had one of my agents ask me this week, should we be on Parler? And I'm like, I've heard of it, but it does not have a take yet. It does not have a hold.
It definitely has a political slant.
Does it?
Yep.
And it's very clunky.
And to me, that's what I'm tired of. And I mean, I'll go ahead and say it on here. I'm so far to the right, I'm one micron to the left of animals, basically. and anybody that ever followed me on Facebook knew that. But it's to the point anymore, I don't want to go to social media to talk politics. I get it rammed down my throat on the radio, on the TV, whatever. So very seldom will you ever hear me mention politics on TikTok. Or it's just not the place for it anymore. Yep.
It's a place to go to escape and get entertained, not to argue. Exactly. So that's why the negative comments are always kind of like, why? Come on, man.
Tell that to my wife. I got dinged for being on TikTok more than I spend time with my wife this week, and it's a time to get away and be entertained. You just said it. Tell her that. I tried to tell her that. It didn't go over so well.
I have so much fun. Like you said, your friend got you started. I have so much fun sending people videos that I found. You know, it's kind of crazy, and maybe it's my novice-ness with the app, but a video will disappear. Like, I almost have to send it to Corey, so that way I can go back to my sent messages to find it to watch again, because if I scrolled past it...
Yeah, you have to like it
or
send it.
Right.
So do you follow anybody on TikTok? What kind of videos do you like?
Blind follow deals. I think I follow 7,500 people, and it's... I really think, and I kept asking other people, like Farm Boy Matt, he's popular on there. I don't remember if I mentioned it to Chuck Weldon, but some of these guys that have bigger pages, I asked them, because in the beginning, anybody that followed me, I would follow them back just automatically. Didn't care who it was, what they had. And at first I often wondered if that didn't trip some kind of an algorithm that actually put my stuff out there more. And maybe it didn't. I don't know. But for a long time there, I had 3,000 followers and I was following about the same amount of people. But then once it got so big, it's like I couldn't keep up with it because you can only follow 100 people a day and it shuts off.
Right. I did.
Or whatever it is. So I don't, and maybe that's just me being stupid, but I often wondered if that didn't trip something and would actually put my stuff out there. Cause I don't know how these algorithms work, and maybe it didn't. But
I was hoping after we got done with this that you'd share all the secrets.
It's just pure dumb luck. I can tell you that. I don't know. It's weird.
How about
never dreamed this 6-8 months ago. Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about another Dole distributing beer break?
Sure. There you go.
Tony, why don't we grab the hazy little thing, the other can that we sent you.
Kind of a teal can with some sunshine, huh?
I think this is one of their big ones.
We had some sunshine today. Pretty good weather.
Yeah. We always got a podcast when it's 70 plus and you're sunny out. My poor dad's at home working. I'm here messing off. Effing off.
Drinking beer. Farm for profit.
How, while he's pouring those, you mentioned Farm Boy Matt. Have you developed some pretty cool relationships off TikTok?
Actually, I have. I talked to Matt on the phone quite a bit. He's actually coming down to my house this weekend. We're going to hang out. He's been here once before. You guys probably saw the video with the X9 combine.
Yep.
That we looked at that time. But, yeah. And it's funny because really the ones that I talk to a lot are Farm Boy Matt and Chuck Weldon. And it's funny because it's honestly like I've known them guys my whole life. You know, you pick up the phone and there's no awkwardness, no whatever. You just start talking and it's really neat and it's really awkward at the same time because it's like, I don't really know this guy that well, but I've just explained all this stuff and shared all this stuff that in a way he's a complete stranger almost, but. So it is kind of funny.
We've had a couple people like that, even with our conference, Farm for Profit conference, and from Q to lots of them that are out there. But you guys all know them from Egg Twitter. See, I'm older than them, so I'm more back to the Facebook era, and they're more Egg Twitter. I'm getting into Egg Twitter. See, but I'm like hardcore on TikTok. So
yeah, but I told Tanner the other day after you and I got off the phone, I was like, it was like talking to a friend. You know, I was got me really really excited. Exactly, yeah.
It really was. You know, we picked, that was the first time we'd ever spoke in person. Yep. You know, we'd text or whatever. But yeah, it was just one of them, hey, what's going on? And it was, there was no awkwardness or, you know, that awkward silence waiting on the next guy.
I'm glad that I DM'd you before you got so huge and didn't just flush me down with the rest of them.
So is this your first podcast?
This is the first podcast I've ever done in my life.
So we're the coolest podcast because we let you drink beer on the podcast, see?
It is. Exactly. It is going to be, it'll be really tough for whoever asks you next to match up.
So in the odd circumstance, you know, that when I do hit it huge here, like someday when I'm hosting the CMAs, there I can come back and be like, them are the guys that got me started.
Hell put
me
on the map
right there.
That's right. We better be with you backstage.
Yeah, we'll provide the beer.
Yeah,
that's Keystone. Right. We can do that. We can bring some Keystone. Yeah, yeah. Right now, let's grab the Sierra Nevada Hazy Little Thing, another IPA.
It looks lighter. Doesn't look quite like dehydrated pee.
Oh, this. Give me the can on this
one. Hazy Little Thing.
Oh, there you go. This is a lot lighter IPA. Not as
much lighter. Not much as smoother.
Boardy.
Not as 2x4y.
Yeah, it's smooth going down. A little bit of a bitter aftertaste, but it goes away quick. I mean, I could probably choke this one down.
I could see if this is all somebody had in their shop fridge, you'd be able to drink it.
Yes.
Yeah. This one's better.
Does it give you much? I got it pulled up here on the computer. It's a 2-row pale Munich oats and wheat, juicy hops, silky malt, meat in a hazy little thing with fruit forward flavor, modest bitterness, and a smooth finish.
I will say both these IPAs do have that fruit flavor.
Yeah.
Which you don't always get.
This I actually took two swigs out of that.
Hey, that's a win.
Tanner needs to go grab another Keystone. We got some Keystones here, too. Sympathy beers.
Sympathy beers. Chasers.
Which one of you guys sent the collapsible huggy thing here that got like the slap bracelet deal where it just folds around your can?
Corey, I sent them all to you, but Tanner and I got together. We got all these beer. So we got Dole Distributing gives us a beer every time for the podcast, and then they give us a bunch of
swag
items, and then we'll do giveaways and stuff. So whenever we send stuff, like it's always way too much stuff that we have here, so we just try to put them in boxes and get them out of here.
Gotcha. Well, it shows how sheltered I am. I've never seen a Huggy like that. That is awesome, because you know how Keystone are. They don't quite fit in a Huggy, right? They're a little sloppy in a Huggy, where this one here,
we got to talk about this.
We got to talk, what's a Huggy?
What's a Huggy?
This is a koozie.
This is the koozie. Is that an Illinois thing?
It must be. I've always called them huggies around here.
Oh, it's a grain cart, grain buggy.
Grain buggy, I guess. Geez,
a bank out.
Bank out wagon. What the heck?
Bank out wagon.
We even had this argument before. What the hell is a bank out wagon?
I mean, we've even had a nice partnership with Walkabout Mother Bins.
Yeah, Big Mother.
And they don't even call it a bank out cart.
Yeah, and they're Australian.
Yeah, I've only heard that term in Washington and Oregon. And maybe some Northern California. You get anywhere east of there, and it's either a grain cart or an auger wagon from everybody I've ever talked to.
There you go. There's a challenge for the listeners. Do you call it a huggy or do you call it a koozie? What do you call it?
Yeah. I don't even. What else could you call it? That might be a TikTok there for huggy. You.
It could be.
I've never heard huggy before. I think I've heard something else, but I can't remember it right now.
Interesting.
Oh, man.
I'm trying to think if I've ever heard it called anything besides a koozie.
Koozie
with a K.
Yeah.
Yep.
They do use the term koozie around here very, very loosely. You don't hear many people use it. Most people call it a hug.
That must be a regional thing.
It's got to be.
It's kind of like, is it booze cruising or gravel traveling? You get up into like southern Minnesota, northeastern Iowa. It's what the heck?
It's COVID social distancing now.
They call it going on tour.
Going on tour.
Oh, going on tour. Huh?
That almost sounds French.
It's always been road tripping here.
Road tripping. Yeah.
Road
tripping.
Yep.
So
that's what it's always been in this.
So Tony, do you and Mrs. Growing Corn exchange Christmas presents?
No, we don't actually. For as long as we've been married, we have never bought each other gifts for birthdays, Christmas, whatever. But every now and again, I'll throw in, like you've probably seen the TikTok where I bought her the new big farm kitchen table.
Yeah, that was nice.
So, yeah, so you throw one of them out every once in a while, and then that'll buy you 5-6 years, and you don't have to buy
5-6 years, and you're good.
Well, that makes it easier. We've been getting bugged on our end that we're hard to shop for. So when it comes to the holiday season, not only are we hard to shop for, but I've got a father-in-law, brother-in-law, my dad, all in agriculture and farming. And I think the main characteristic of us is if we need something, we go buy it.
You get it.
If we can afford it, we're going to go buy it. So we're really hard to buy gifts for. So I went on a mission on Ag Twitter, not necessarily Ag TikTok, Ag Twitter, and I sent a bunch of DMs out asking people what their favorite Christmas present they've ever gotten was and what they want this year really bad from Santa Claus. So I got over 30 responses back from our network of listeners, and we're going to kind of run down a couple of these here in a short little segment about what might be good gift ideas if you're stuck trying to come up with something for everybody else this holiday season.
Yeah, perfect timing. This will be coming out right before Black Friday, so a lot of people start their shopping on that. This year will probably be all online.
And Dave, you cannot read every word that's on this paper.
I know, there's a lot. I'm telling you.
No, not even that there's a lot. There's some that you cannot read that are on this paper.
I bet.
Look at that star right there.
Oh.
Into the mic.
Well, I'll read the one of our past guest, Jenny, Witty Farmer, West Central Illinois, quarter-inch impact or half-inch impact. That's like a great gift.
Those are easy.
Are you a Milwaukee guy or a DeWalt guy or a Snap-on guy?
Yeah, I'm more Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
I got one Snap-on impact, but we bought a lot of Milwaukee. And I love it.
Yeah. Great. We made the switch to Milwaukee a couple years ago from DeWalt. Love it.
Is it DeWalt or DeWalt? I always get dinged on this. I say DeWalt, but DeWalt. Everybody's like, it's DeWalt.
Both.
Same thing. I'm gonna say DeWalt.
DeWalt.
The one of the trends that I saw, gifts that people wanted this year are more on experiences. People are wanting to be able to go back to a concert, wanting to be able to take an overnight trip or spend time with their families. And that one, not that that surprised me, but that we've been spending a lot of time with our families. We haven't been able to go anywhere else. But a lot of people that like going on trips with spouses and having experiences rather than getting something.
Any farm will do. Any farm will do.
That was Andy Pastor. So Andy Pastor said his best gift was a 1/64 scale pivot that he can put on his farm table. But when wanting to know what Santa Claus might bring him, he said any farm. He didn't care where it was. Just any farm will do. Even if it's Iowa or Illinois, he'll just take a farm. That's
Who's
all.
This? WeatherTech floor mats. I have some on Facebook swap page. Come on now. Grace Hammer, get on that.
Kevin Bush, DeWalt charging station, which I think, and then I sent you one too. Milwaukee has, what is that called?
Yeah, you sent me. It is.
Are you talking the jackets that are heatable?
Well, warmable? They have that. A top off.
Of course you'd want a top off.
This thing you can plug into a Milwaukee battery, and it's basically a plug in and a cell phone charger.
Oh, yeah. I got one. That.
You got one of those?
Yeah, I got one. Okay. It's for DeWalt.
I mean, that's. Yeah. I bet Tony doesn't have one of those. Do you have one of those, Tony?
No, I don't.
Yep.
Nope, I sure don't.
That would be a pretty cool gift.
Yeah.
So in the growing corn household, who does the cooking?
She does every bit of it. She does every bit of the cooking, every bit of the cleaning. Believe it or not, I mentioned this last night on my TikTok live before I got banned.
Before I got banned? Banned?
For vulgar language, shocker.
Shocker.
Some Chinese was watching that and just shut you down.
Yep, sure. But we got three kids, and I changed zero diapers on all three of our kids.
Ever. Oh, my gosh. Now,
it's funny because I hit the jackpot in the marriage department. I really did. My wife is the – I wouldn't trade my wife for $5 million. I wouldn't. And all the local people around here give me hell. They're like, man, you need to start putting on classes. You got your wife trained and this and that. It's like, I didn't have to train her at all. That's just who she is. Oh, I can be sitting in my recliner and say, man, I'm thirsty. And boom, she's up and gone to the kitchen back with a glass of water, tea, coffee, whatever. I mean, and I don't even have to ask her to do it. And I don't take advantage of her. Don't get me wrong. But that's just the type of person. She's like, yeah, your grandma was when you was a little kid. You just make the hint and boom, you got it. That's how she is.
So. This isn't even his anniversary week.
Yeah, no kidding. No, That's awesome. The reason I ask is a lot of these gift ideas are around meal prep. Pellet smokers, dehydrators, rubs, spices. What I had to Google was a sous vide. Have you ever, what a sous vide cooker is?
What is that?
I don't even know how to best describe. To me, it looks like it's an appliance. It goes into a special bowl, but it's a cylinder that it must heat up. So we've got We've got links of all these gift ideas on our website. So you go to the Farm for Profit website. My wife, speaking of marrying up and out of my league, did an awesome job of putting all these with pictures together on an attachment. So you can just go out there, send your mother-in-law, send somebody out to the website. They can click on this attachment, and every one of these gift suggestions is out there. But it's for cooking. Like, you plug it into the wall. Well, Hank Wade was one of the guys that told us about this. He wants more containers to cook in. But I almost wonder if it's like the Instapot. That was big last Christmas.
What about the tractor oven? You have a tractor oven, don't you, Tony? Like a don't you have like a Hot Logic plug-in tractor oven thing?
Absolutely. Yes. Yep. Phenomenal.
That was one that was put on here. Erin Holbert actually told us about that one. She was talking very highly about her tractor oven.
Yeah, I haven't got one yet, but they look pretty cool. PTO wrench is another one. A chain stretching tool. I think Chad Colby shared those.
Somebody want a Phantom 4 drone? That's a little outdated. We need to get.
That was his best gift ever.
That was the best gift ever. Okay.
So yeah, he's totally cool with getting. That was Rocky Ormston.
Upgraded the Mavic. Yep.
No, that was fun. It was work and play. He was telling me all about that. Had a really good time with that Christmas gift.
Yep. I would say AirPods or any Bluetooth listening thing with everything that we're doing these days, something hands-free. I wear my AirPods in the hog barns and the tractor, all that, so I can watch Tony's videos in loud places.
I just wear them so that my wife doesn't get like, what the heck are you watching?
Yeah.
The ones that I want to, if you have the ability to, I want to reflect back on our Farm for Fun shows. So I've become a big fan, Tony, over these episodes of some of these beverages that we've tasted. I love, almost my go-to liquor right now is Hooch from Loup River Distilling.
Loup River in Nebraska.
Yep. It's a clear corn whiskey, a very smooth corn whiskey. I think the beer that stands out for me the most is Tyrant of Darkness. That was out of Glenwood.
That's the one I about puked on, wasn't it?
That had so I think
it
I
was like coffee grounds. It was so bad.
It was, but it had so much flavor.
It had there, so many different flavors. Yeah, it was
every
good.
Time you drank it, it was something different. So those were two things that I wanted to suggest.
Tony, did you get the Outback wraps in the box that I sent you? Did you see those?
I did. Yes.
Have you ever seen those before?
I haven't. I had to look on the back and see exactly what it was. But
so I think that would be the ultimate stocking stuffer gift.
They get 20% if they mention Farm for Profit, right?
That's true. That's a bonus. Yeah. Farm for Profit in there.
So that was, you got like a two pack. It was like a sample pack basically, or like a Power Beyond type pack, or if you had just maybe a Batwing or something like that. But tell you what, I actually bought a set of these for the planter last spring. Because every time you go hook, I mean, you're using five or six SCV outlets, and every time you go hook it up, you know, bound and determined, one of them is going to be backwards, and it's going to piss you off because you're going to climb up in the tractor and back down, and then when you plug them back in, one will pop out because it didn't quite go in or something, so you always want to do it right the first time.
Hooking up's never been so easy.
Hooking up is easy.
So they actually sent us some to give away like this, so I actually gave my brother-in-law some for his planter because he'd been using ear tags from his cattle ear tags. Yep. And I noticed that the Sharpie that he had written on those tags were no longer on the tag. So it really meant nothing. Yep. Now he just had a bunch of green tags on there. So I gave these to him and I was giving him a bunch of crap because he's got them hidden in his porch because he doesn't want anybody else to put them on anything else because he wants them for the planter. So I know I'm going to order a bunch more packages for his stocking. Come this Christmas season.
We always use zip ties, colored zip ties, but you know they get brittle and break off, or they stab your hand when you're putting them in, and then you don't know which one it goes.
For dairy cows, they make just these big pieces of Velcro that you wrap around the cow's leg, so when they come into the parlor, it's a red, purple, whatever.
Yeah.
So that's what I was always using. You know, purple hose, and then I would put the other purple one on the outlet of the tractor, like on the planter, because there's 12 hoses or whatever.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Match purple to purple, but it was the same way. They would fade or they'd come off or get oil and dirt and you couldn't see. So actually they got our new planter done today. I got to pick it up tomorrow, and that's exactly where those new Outbacks are going.
Well, you're going to need them a few more.
Yeah, you're going to need some more. So go out outbackwraps.com, use Farm the number 4 Profit, and you get 20% off. So that'll go a long ways. You'll be able to make a nice size order there and not have to spend a whole lot of money.
Yeah. And you could tell they were heavy duty. They weren't some cheap, cheesy Chinese deal. I mean,
yeah, little, you gotta tell by just picking them up. You kind of got to be mean with them to get them on.
Yeah, he was pretty proud of it. It almost makes it like a handle. Is what Dave had was. We had the CEO on our previous episode, and he was saying that it almost makes it easier to hook the hose up because it works like a handle.
Yep. Yeah, I would believe it. They're heavy duty.
They actually make a big one that like. What do they call that?
Hose tamer
that you can put all your hoses into, so they're not that's 12 right. hoses.
That'd be a good bat
getting
wing.
Caught on hitches and yeah, everything.
Right, so that'd I'm be good. Like, something good for a bat wing. Well, I don't know. Didn't ask for one. Cool, so. Tony. So, Jack Daniels, do you watch much TV?
The Weather Channel. So,
pretty much. Content.
Okay, so I'm guessing Jack Daniels doesn't advertise on the Weather Channel, but I saw a Jack Daniels commercial and. What they're promoting right now is I've always wanted to do that. And then they pour themselves a shot and then they go do whatever it was. What's something that you've always wanted to do?
Oh gosh. I don't know. That would be so like I'm into travel. Like if I had $5 million tomorrow, you'd never see me. I really would. I'd quit farming. You'd never see me. Yep. I'd travel the entire world. So if it's something like that, then yeah, you'd probably see me on a safari in Africa or something.
I was going to say, where would be your first three stops?
Probably Australia, Africa, and maybe some of the World War II stuff in Europe. Yeah. Outside of the World War II stuff, I don't really care about Europe, but I like to see some of the World War II stuff.
That'd be cool. Maybe Outback Raps will take you there.
That's right. Get a hold of Dave.
Get a hold of Dave.
So I would say the one thing I've always wanted to do is I've always wanted to become a pilot or learn how to fly.
That scares the crap out of me. My wife's father, my father-in-law, he got his license and he can fly and he always wanted me to go with him and I haven't taken him up on that offer. I don't want him to kill off his son-in-law easily.
I've been in the same field with him, so I don't blame you there, I guess.
That's right, running next to the grain cart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, if you see how he runs a combine, you'll be kind of scared how he flies yeah. flies an airplane.
How do you fly an airplane finesse, when you run finesse. That thing?
I'm the same way. I'm not scared of heights at all. I've flown 50 times probably, but I'm just not ready to run the plane myself. You know, it's
yeah.
I'll leave that to somebody else.
So since you do like to travel, do you guys take quite a bit of trips every year? I mean, minus COVID.
We try to. That was in 2016. One Sunday afternoon, Kevin that I work for just called me up out of the blue and he said, "Hey, you want to go to Alaska?" I'm like, "Eh." Yeah, I mean, definitely I want to go, but don't know what the wife's going to say about that. He's like, no, she can go too. And so I just kind of laughed it off. I'm like, yeah, we'll go. Got to work Monday morning. He said, all right, we leave July 15th, whatever it was. So we went to Alaska 2 weeks, me, him, and my wife. So done that. One of the coolest places, believe it or not, and you'd never think this from somebody from the Midwest who lives on a farm, is New York City. If you ever get the chance to go to New York City, go to New York City. I would go back there right now if you pick me up. Phenomenal place.
That's interesting because my wife and I, our honeymoon was to Alaska. We did an Alaskan cruise. Yeah. Absolutely loved it. Beautiful place. For her master's degree, we got to go to Morocco. And obviously that's the most recent trip that I've taken of any distance, but that'll stick out in my mind for a long time, just the culture. Seeing a complete different, the way they live, the way they have values, the way they treat kids, women, just human beings in general, tourists. That was definitely a culture shock.
I've been to every state except four states. I've never been to North Dakota, which I kicked myself in the ass for not going when we was cutting weed up there. We was 40 miles from the border. I should have at least crossed the border because I have no reason to ever go to North Dakota.
I don't think you're missing much.
Yeah, exactly. So I've never been there, California, Oregon, or Hawaii. So once I click them off, I'll hit all 50.
Did you ask me where I went to my
Yeah, where'd you date? Go? No, where'd you go on your honeymoon?
We went on a seed trip.
On a seed trip?
Because I sell seed, and if you sell enough, you know, you get to go on a their camaraderie trip or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so we held off on our honeymoon the fall we got married and went in the February afterwards and went to Hawaii.
Oh, my.
Well, that's still a pretty good seed trip.
That's why I was like, well, I mean, it's not going to be that romantic, but it's Hawaii, and like cheeseburgers are $20 there.
When you said seed trip, I was thinking like St. Louis, Nashville, which probably wouldn't have been bad. But well, I'm getting thirsty. Tony, let's grab the pale ale. So let's open the Sierra Nevada Not Nevada. Nevada is only 15 minutes outside of Ames. Sierra Nevada, which is a state I've never been to. Let's open this Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. And Dave, you're going to like...
You ever been to Vegas?
You never been to Vegas?
Oh, I have been to Vegas.
I've never been to Nevada.
Jeez. Here's the description on the bottle, Dave. This is what you were looking for earlier.
All right, let's give it a try.
Passing them around.
It's pretty light.
The pale ale in your hands sparked the American craft beer revolution. Bold and complex with pine and citrus notes. Here's back to your fruit.
Back to the wood.
Back to the wood. Got 2x4 taste here with whole cone cascade hops. This pale ale was first brewed in 1980, an introduction into a generation of glory of hops. Our pale ale is still a classic Sierra Nevada Brewing Company and is still 100% family owned.
This should be a little better than the IPAs for you, I think, right?
It's got some bite.
But it's not like...
I've got that pine. Bitter. I get the pine again.
Mm-hmm.
It's tolerable.
I mean...
I will absolutely refuse to drink a beer if the only beer available is Miller Lite. And I know that's probably going to piss some people off. Miller Lite. And it's got a Miller Lite hint, but it goes away very quickly. So I could maybe tolerate this. Maybe. It's not terrible.
So it's the best so far?
I think he liked the hazy.
Yeah.
The hazy little thing.
And that was good.
Since 1980.
So I
took 3 swigs out of that one, so...
I got 3 sweet.
I like this. All right, Tony. So I am in a minority for this Twitter poll. And I want to find out if you were in a minority for the Twitter poll. Conrad, at Conrad No Show. So he's one of the co-hosts of the No Shit Show podcast. Not sure if you've come across that one or not.
Nope.
He asked, he had a poll. He said, what is your dominant hand? And what hand do you wipe your butt with?
So, my right hand is dominant. And if I ever lose my right hand, I'm going to be hiring somebody to wipe my ass. Anything left-handed. Nothing. The only thing I can do left-handed is smoke and drive.
Smoke and drive.
So, you are with 74% of the respondents. Right, really? right.
Yep. Yeah,
I am right, but I did break my arm, my right arm, in sixth grade or something. So I have a little experience with the old lefty.
Lefty.
Dave? I think if it happened today,
stranger.
I'd be buying a bidet.
right. I'm with the 74% of the world.
So I'm in the 9% with right hand dominant left hand. And that's because when I was 7 years old, I broke my arm and I just never went back.
Okay.
I can't do anything left-handed. Nothing.
But the best response out of all of these was Pastor Ben. We had Pastor Ben on one of our derecho episodes, Ben Ostick. And he said, guys, you realize that you're wiping and shaking hands with the same hand.
Yeah. In other countries, that's like
a big no-no.
Big no-no.
Yeah. Talking culture.
You must have got that out of the old Roman text. That was like that. Literally, was how they did because
they didn't wash their hands
with their hands.
Right.
So they wiped with their left hand and
shook
hands and ate with their right.
Yeah. But he said it even caused an in household dispute because apparently he and his wife, speaking of anniversaries, he and his wife had never conversed about the preference of treatment, and it threw him off.
Well, I don't know why this would ever come up as.
I don't either.
From Conrad on Twitter. Why would we be talking about it?
Unless you broke your arm and needed your wife to wipe because you couldn't use your left.
Like he said, he'd be hiring someone else. It wouldn't be the wife. It'd be somebody else even, probably.
Yeah, of course, she probably would if I'd asked, but I'd probably have to hire somebody out of respect. I don't know.
I've heard 911 calls like that before.
No kidding.
They're stuck on the toilet and, can you wipe for me?
No. Get in the shower.
Get in the shower.
Red Knight say, oh, gosh, I got a fever. I can't come.
Oh, shit.
That's kind of funny.
That's a good one.
I
did not see that on Twitter. So
I didn't either.
So you didn't participate in the poll?
I didn't, no.
Well, the answers might have been more lopsided if you guys would have answered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so I got a question for you guys. Yep. I didn't know this until Corey called me the other day. I actually do have a Twitter account, and the only reason I made it was like 5 years ago. I was following with the Chip Flory Crop Tour.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of them years when crops were marginal. So I was wanting to see what they, and I literally signed up for like one day and have never went back to it ever. But Corey said like a lot of my TikTok stuff has made it over to Twitter. And I had no idea, no clue. I'm not on. So
that you're not tagged in it on Twitter, but yeah, your videos are all over the place.
I can't believe
you better get on there. Cause Twitter is it's definitely different than TikTok. You got to sift through a lot of bullshit, but
I bet you could get on Twitter and not participate very much and still get a substantial following, kind of like Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Really?
It would just be because people are tagging you. They tag you, because I've seen people do TikToks to where they include you. If they're doing their Gleaner rant or if they're doing something along those lines and they try to grab at your fame, your following. I think there'd be a lot of that on Twitter, and it'd be a good fallback.
My problem with Twitter is it's all mostly words. And it's not that I'm that dumb that not I want to do pictures.
No, they have the story now.
They do have stories. They copied Snapchat and then Instagram and everybody else. Yep. But I read emails all day. I don't need to read more. That's why I'll go to TikTok and watch you rant about a weather forecast or something, because it doesn't require my brain to have to work as much.
What I like about Twitter is I use it for actual more of the business side of things. Like I went on and said, we had a partial knife plugged on anhydrous this last spring. Didn't show up until late season. It wasn't like the whole knife was clogged. So I went on and said, What are you guys using for individual row monitoring? Is that even available? And then, I mean, I had 30 different responses from Nebraska, Illinois, Missouri. I mean, from a bunch of different people. And I was able to narrow it down to two different things, companies that had it. And then it was kind of the availability. One was 2 weeks out and one was available right now in Des Moines. So that's what I'm doing this week, is putting that on.
Well, that's kind of it. That leads into an article actually that Corey and I got to be a part of. Our local Des Moines Register, the local newspaper, gave Corey and I both a call about a study that was done in Nebraska about how Twitter might be able to predict different trends faster than the United States monitoring system. So, for example, they use drought. So, the U.S. drought monitoring system. And they were saying that potentially you could have seen that a drought was happening in Iowa quicker if you were watching Twitter than when they actually released their reports from the drought monitoring system. So someone did a study. I just gave my opinion. But what I come down to is the people that I follow because I trust them or entertained by them. And if enough of the people that I follow are saying one thing or the other, I tend to believe it. It's almost like my news source, where I trust them over Fox News and put that together. So that was really cool. Farm for Profit got a little bit of distance in the Des Moines Register. We made the Ames Tribune. We also made another list. That was the Ace Tracks.
Ace Tracks News. Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. So it's really fun to see this podcast grow, kind of like your experience with TikTok. We don't know if we deserve it by any means, but it's been really fun to welcome these new listeners, and hopefully they continue to be entertained.
And some university in Nebraska is doing that, right?
Some university.
Wherever Nebraska's at.
I didn't even know Nebraska could have a university.
It kind of makes sense, though, doesn't it? If you've got boots on the ground, you know, Joe Blow in Iowa, that's showing you his corn burning up versus some bonehead in Washington that just said that it is.
Right.
I mean, it kind of makes sense.
They'll have to analytics and stat. We'll have to come into that play, because I could go to my sandy spot on my farm and show you drought, you know, and exactly. So there'll be a lot of BS to sort through there too.
Oh yeah. That's the same
guys. Averages would probably get you there.
Right. The same guys that take a picture of the yield monitor when it says 325.
Yeah. Don't want to go on that rant. It's probably not even calibrated.
I've been down that road many times. Hey, what's your corn making? Well, it's getting up to 325. I didn't ask what it's getting up to. What's it making?
I made a rant on that on TikTok. I don't know if you saw it or not, but it had quite a few views.
That's funny.
Did that for a few select neighbors. So speaking of the weather thing, because that kind of falls into the weather, are you really a weatherman? Did you take weather classes, or are you just doing that on your own?
I do that on my own. So that actually started last winter as a complete joke on Facebook.
That was Tabby Cat, right?
Yeah. Yep.
I actually went back and found that, and that's what I first started watching you. I was like, oh my god.
That was a friend of mine's page, and you know, everybody would just kind of drink beer and just kind of do stupid little skits and whatnot. But one night we was having a bad snowstorm here. I mean, it had snowed all day. Wind was blowing. They hadn't plowed any roads because there was no sense in it. The wind was 45 mile an hour. So it was just standing orders. Don't plow nothing until the wind lays down. And you see all these idiots on Facebook at 8 o'clock that night. Hey, what's the roads like between here and Shelbyville? It's like, how do you think the roads are? It's been snowing all day with 40 mile an hour winds and they haven't plowed nothing. And you got to go to Facebook to ask how the roads are. I mean, seriously. So that's when I flipped out. I'm like, I'm going to do it myself. And it just kind of snowballed from there. And so we got to doing a weekly weather report and people just ate it up. I mean, it went viral.
He's cussing and telling it like it is.
Have you been on Ames People? Because that's exactly what it is.
I haven't.
What's the weather outside?
Get a frickin' snowmobile. I don't know. Yeah. You're not going to be able to get there.
And the part that really got me was, you know how it is on social media. You've got 90% of the people who conduct themselves normal and have common sense and know what the roads are like. But you've always got the 10% that are just doing it for drama.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because, it just pissed me off. So I just decided to make my own weather. That was the end of it. So.
I like it. I'd much rather watch your forecast than the other ones.
So you just go buy all this equipment and green screens and make it happen, or just technology come around on your phone?
You painted your wall green.
I did. I painted a wall. We got our basement. It's more or less unfinished in a sense, you know. So I just painted one of the walls green and learned on YouTube how to green screen videos and completely taught myself. And that's it.
You just don't know where you're pointing. Here.
I don't have the monitor like they do on TV where I know what I'm pointing at. It's just a complete guess every time I do it. So I got to kind of move the video around on the green screen to make it match to my finger a little bit. So
maybe we can get you to do a personalized forecast for us sometime coming up for Central Iowa.
Derecho coming your way. Yeah,
there is a derecho coming to bend you over.
Yeah.
That would have been nice if he could give us a heads up on that.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Well, we're taking quite a bit of your time. We got one more beer left to try. Why don't we open the celebration? So this is the 2020 celebration. I don't know if their marketing team really did a good job here.
The 2020 celebration.
The 2020 celebration.
Yeah. You know, it's not okay. There's been a lot of negative things in 2020, but there's a lot of positives that can be pulled out of it. Trying to look at the bright side of things.
I mean, prices are rallying.
Growing Corn 2020 came about.
Are you going to be growing corn 2021 next year?
I don't know what we're going to do there, because I've noticed now there is other people that are like growing cotton 2020 and one guy's corn grower 2020. So they're kind of, it's easy to mistake the names if you're just scrolling real fast. So I don't know if I'll change the name or not. I really haven't decided.
At least with 2020, you can make it the excuse that it's about eyesight or vision or
exactly. I don't know, we'll just have to see. The verdict's out on that.
One time a long time ago I said it's kind of like catch 2020, and everybody was like, what'd you just say? And it's like not so much.
Not gonna be able to do that anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Sierra Nevada, Dole Distributing. Thank you again for providing us with this. This is the Celebration 2020 Fresh Hop IPA. So another IPA for you IPA lovers.
All right. Let's give it a try. Maybe my taste buds are getting shot because it's not as IPA-ish as I thought it would be.
This is more of a regular IPA than the first two IPAs were. If you're an IPA drinker, there's less fruit.
Yeah. 'Twas the night before brewing, it says. Grab some of our specialty beers and cozy up at home and sip along as we take you inside the night before brewing. So it's a big old story on their website of
holidays.
This beer. It's a holiday IPA.
Where is
Hoppy Days?
Are you farming for Thanksgiving?
Nope, we're all done. Everything's done. I've been washing the combine the last 2 days. And yeah, if you follow me on Twitter, I'm washing with an R, washing the combine.
Washing. Hashtag Andy Clean.
Yep.
So hope to have that done tomorrow, and that'll be the last touches of the 2020 season. Tuck it away, and that's it. So
that was, as we finished up today, that is exactly what went into was blowing the combine off. So the father-in-law and I got leaf blower, air hose, started blowing it right off there in the field so we could quickly put that behind us and move on with the rest of everything.
Yep. Well, you must get done pretty quick with that. Mine doesn't blow off that fast.
No, I left to come do a podcast.
Okay. I left to come do a podcast. Yeah,
not my farm. I'm the son-in-law.
Sorry, I got to go.
Conveniently on your anniversary, too. Yeah, I got an anniversary, well, Dad. I got to leave.
Yeah, so, see you later. Yeah, look at the gotta, time. What's wrong with this one?
I bought a portable compressor last year, which makes blowing the combine off half the time, which is awesome. And then I got a full face mask.
We didn't mention that during the gift idea.
This is another gift idea. So I used to just like try to wear safety glasses and a mask because there's dust everywhere. And, well, you couldn't wear one or the other because if you wore the mask, the safety glasses would fog up. So I got this like firefighter looking deal, and I actually spent the extra $50, and it's a gas mask too in case, you know.
Sure.
We have to go rioting or something like that. I can riot, blow combines off, fight fires.
New York, all now. Here we go.
But you can get a gas mask like that for $50 on Amazon, and man, no dust gets in your eyes.
We've got one on the list. If you go out to that list on the website, one of Corey's masks is out there.
What was that? What just happened?
Oh my, just got a notification from TikTok.
Uh-oh.
Did you just post a new video? Like, what the heck?
So Dave, normally listeners, the last couple of these episodes, Corey has ranted about something that didn't go well. I had a phone call with you this week to where I think Corey is going to bow out of this week.
I will let you have this week.
Because I think you have something to rant about.
So,
not to be compared.
Man.
Not to be compared to a Tony Reid rant.
It's no. It should have been, but
we'll have one of those. We'll have one of them in the after show.
Yeah.
But I want to hear what happened to you this week.
So our governor, Governor Reynolds, who I like a lot, she's very right-sided. She makes good decisions, but I think politics got the best of her here. They made a decision at 7 o'clock at night, is when I heard it, came out that at midnight they were going to shut down our state for COVID reasons and social distancing, and you cannot have a group more than 15 people inside or 30 outside. My problem, I have an auction scheduled for the next morning that I bet there's 150 people coming to.
A land auction.
For 750 acres.
For 750 acres. I know I have people coming from South Dakota, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Iowa for this land auction. Lots of people watching online, already have lots of registered bidders. And so the night before, I thought, I better go up there, check with the facility. It's city-owned, okay? So city-owned facility. The gal's like, all right, we can do this. We can split into three rooms, get 15 people in each room, but then we got our staff there as well. Like, okay, how many people can we get in here? Only bidders. Only people with real money. Everybody else who's looky-loo, get online. Watch it there. So then we decide the morning of, they said, we can't do that. Let's go into the parking lot. Here's where the real rant comes, is I'm going to have an outdoor auction. Sit in your truck, gentlemen, farmers, sit in your blooming truck. And I was told you can't have more than 30 people convene in one spot. I said, they're in their truck. They're in their doggone truck that they drove here in. You are assembling more than 30 people. And so the local police came up, shut us down, said, if you convene more than 30 people in this parking lot, I'm going to shut you down. Well, I know flat out there's going to be more than that. I have a problem with this because, not a problem with the officer. He's doing his job. He said, flat out, he says, I don't make the rules. I just have to enforce them. I'm sorry. So I get that. So no problem with him. But I wish there would have been a little more like, you know, 24 hours to help us make some decisions. I can't move in 4 hours. And our auction, people start showing up an hour before. Right. At 8 a.m. is when everybody finally gets online and says, all right, let's start digesting this rule. I have 60 minutes before people start showing up for people to digest this rule. Well, instead, they're going to err on the side of caution. So my auction gets shut down. I said, screw it. Officer, I'm going to the farm. We're just going to go out to the farm, park your pickups on the farmland. We'll just do it right on the farmland. I'll just cry right out of the back of the truck. Nope. If you assemble more than 30 people, I'm going to shut you down. I'm like, it's private property. It's on the farm field. If you assemble more than 30, now the focus is on us. So we had to cancel the auction. Cancel the auction.
You didn't cancel. You postponed.
Postponed it. So 24 hours, went online. People adapt. Even the old guys that were really mad, people that drove from out of state, had them all online the next day. Over 175 people participating. Sold the farm for $9 million. So,
and outpaced the expectations.
Outpaced the expectations. Sellers. Yeah. Farmland's hot right now, which is great. But nonetheless, it cost us. I had 7-8 guys there, hotel fees in it, food, vendors, people driving from outside of town, et cetera, et cetera. My rant is, don't shut down the country without at least giving me 24 hours notice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would agree.
And the interesting thing that you shared with me is that it's a variance of opinion.
Yeah.
Because you got a letter from the governor's office.
I did. And so they said, if you cannot inhibit business. So if your normal business has like 75 people, well, then you can have 75 people. That's okay. You have more than 15.
Right. At the bank, we're okay.
Well, that's my business. I happen to bring the public in for an auction. They can decide to come. They're big people. They're adults. They can wear a mask if they want. We were requiring everybody to wear masks and hand sanitizer, et cetera, but that is my rant. Nonetheless, successful. I don't blame the police officer because he had to do his job. But with that now, so what happened today? Had another auction today. We had it live and we were okay to have it today. The governor actually reconvened on this and now we can't. So now we're back to 15 and 30 people outside. So you can't even sit in your pickup. So I just bought an FM transmitter, turn your radio dial to like 92.5, whatever. And you can listen to us auction within so many feet of the FM transmitter.
You honk your horn when you want a bid.
Yeah. Turn your lights on, flash your lights on, hand out the window, whatever you want. That was the plan. Well, yeah. Now we can't even do that if there's more than 30 people.
Which I agree with you. It doesn't make any sense. If you drove there in your pickup, you were there with that person anyway. I mean, yeah. Park in a big old circle.
That's how it is in Illinois. I mean, everybody's just fed up with it. And here's my take on COVID. I think it's serious. I think it's something to be monitored. If I was 70 years old, I would be watching it very closely.
Yep.
But I'm not. So I think it's one of the things you just got to, like you said, adapt.
Yep.
Try to live with it and just move on. You know, I'm not saying it's not serious by any stretch of the mile. There's been people die from it. I mean, it is serious, but we can't shut the whole country down. It's just, you know, like in Illinois, the bars have to close at 11 o'clock at night.
You can't get COVID until after 11.
I mean, how much sense does that make? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. So
yep.
That's just what makes me so mad. The rules are just so far-fetched and stupid that it just don't even make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel the same way about that. It's tough. It's a serious thing.
I did see a TikTok rant on this for Minnesota governor just shut down theirs.
Yeah.
And some kid said, I don't get to play hockey. I might commit suicide. Now, I hope people don't commit suicide, but your rant on TikTok saying you're going to commit suicide because you can't play hockey.
I mean, a little deeper into that because you can't play hockey, but like there is a lot of suicides are up.
They are.
You know, mental health is a big thing and people are struggling with it.
That's why they should listen to our podcast and have fun.
Yeah. Right.
Then they will not be.
Yeah. Have a beer with us.
Mental health.
Calm down. Count to 10. Breathe. We'll be okay.
There you go.
But I do have, I've got one more thing before we try to wrap it up here. So you are on YouTube as well, right? Right, Tony? You got a YouTube channel. We haven't mentioned that yet besides my intro. I've watched a couple of them. That's pretty cool. It's just you and like day to day. You know, changing the oil in the 4020 or whatever, getting augers ready. I watched one on the Shivers drying bin and that stuff too. So what did you decide to do the YouTube after TikTok or was it?
I did.
Yeah.
I had such a good response on TikTok and a lot of people were saying, you know, hey, do more or show this or show that. And you know, you just can't do much in 1 minute on TikTok.
Yep.
Yep.
So, and I'd actually been talking about doing a YouTube channel. And believe it or not, I'm not patting myself on the back. This actually goes back probably before the millennial farmer even started.
Yep.
And my wife kept talking and talking, telling me to do it. I never did. I wouldn't take the time. And so, like I say, I'm not saying I was the first or whatever, but I've been thinking about it for a long time. And then after TikTok, we finally decided to do it. And I just throw it out there and it is what it is. I don't really try to promote it. I'm not a salesman. I don't like to go out and beg people or whatever you want to call it, I guess. And I try to keep it real. You know, I get tired of machinery reviews or whatever to where everything's just the greatest thing in the world. I mean, well, you know, obviously, I mean, that's why I've always said you'll never see any of that nice machinery on my YouTube channel, probably because they're going to roll the dice. If it's a piece of shit, I'm going to tell you that's what it is.
Yeah, you'll say what you're thinking.
Some of these other channels and it's like, well, you know, maybe I don't like the job that it does, but you know, they were nice enough to bring me one. So let's sing its praises and move on. Where I'm not going to do that. And I don't care. I didn't make a YouTube channel to try to get a bunch of new machinery. So
yep.
I just tell it like it is, and that's it. So I don't know, love it or hate it. That's what it is.
So
I think people like it.
Go ahead.
So. But I think that could open up an opportunity for those that are extremely confident in their product.
Exactly. So I made a video last week of a Salford vertical tillage tool. And it was funny because when I told my buddy, my local dealer, that's a Salford dealer, me and him are great friends. And he mentioned to his territory rep or whatever that I was going to put it up a YouTube channel. Well, it kind of went up the chain into command, and somewhere the wires got crossed, because you've seen, or maybe you haven't, but my YouTube channel is nothing like TikTok. I mean, I call a spade, but it's not near the vulgarities as what you see on TikTok.
Yeah.
Well, somewhere up the chain of command, the wires got crossed, and somebody a little higher up the ladder went to TikTok instead of YouTube. And they're kind of like, I don't know if we're comfortable with this or not.
Kind of so how you were, Dave.
They got it straightened out, but it's like me and my buddy said, it's sort of one of them deals where if you got a guy that's no nonsense and he tells you something, it's like, okay, you know, this is something I probably ought to look at because I don't think this guy would lie to me. To where some of the other channels are just, you know, you just go with the flow and, oh, it's the greatest thing in the world. And so you don't really learn nothing, where I'll tell you what it is. And it kind of goes back to the whole Gleaner thing. Truthfully, and I'm not patting myself on the back, but Gleaner has probably got more exposure in the last 2 months than they've had in the last 25 years.
Amen.
Truthfully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you truly believe in there's no such thing as bad publicity, then go with it. So
you should be a spokesperson for him.
You know, I guarantee you've never heard the word Gleaner on social media more than you have in the last 6 months.
Corey looked up a song that had the word Gleaner in it. I bet you that song never gets played unless.
Yeah. Exactly. And the funny part is I truthfully have nothing against Gleaner combines. I've never ran one. But it truly was like a cult around here. You could not tell them guys anything. I mean, you could prove to them on paper that it was a piece of shit. But nope, it's a Gleaner. I'm running it. And it's like, whatever. You do what you want.
We don't. The guy that always responds to you has a little Gleaner.
Not Plotner.
No. It's on TikTok. He kind of converses with you, dude. You remember that guy?
Brian Adams?
Maybe Brian Adams, yeah. That could be, but. I don't know. It's always funny to see him kind of rant back at you.
Right. So. Yeah. But no, I truthfully have nothing against AGCO or Gleaner. It's just kind of one of them deals that stuck. So you just kind of run with it. And, yep. You know, it is what it is. It seems to be a consensus. So.
Yep.
Whatever.
Yep.
Well, Tony, I've had a blast. I hope you've enjoyed your time on this podcast. We hope you stick around. We've kind of started a little bit of a tradition here to where we do an after show, and this is the chance for our listeners to where, if they're pleased with where they're at, they can turn this podcast off. We'll close out here in a little bit. We'd hope you'd stick around for the after show a little bit, for a little bit of conversation. We've all had a couple of beers. I think we all need a restroom break.
Yeah, why don't you play some music? Tony, you can go to the bathroom or take a smoke break or something, and we'll go pee. And then we'll be back here in a couple minutes.
Why don't you send us out, Corey?
Crack a Sierra Nevada beer, mix a drink. You deserve it.
Around here, fast is how the grass grows. Loss is what you find on a back road. Proof's in the whiskey, red's in the dirt, and hard work stops at the fence row. We stand for the flag, and if you don't like it, we don't care, 'cause we do things a little different around here. Braves 18, we're in orange and green. Truth is in the words in red we read. Proud is what you say about where you're from. How you feel, not what you pay. Simple's how we live. Thanks is what we give. Roots in the ground's why we stay. Brave as 18, we're an army green.
There, we're back.
We're back. But yeah, so if you're an auction that has a regularly scheduled auction every Tuesday or every Wednesday, you can still do an auction. Because you can't get COVID at a regular scheduled one, but by God, you can get COVID at one that's not regularly scheduled.
Oh my gosh. Are you guys talking over? Oop. No, switched you.
We switched you off, and your mic's off too. Tony's back though.
Yeah.
You guys have a problem if Mrs. Growing Corn shows up here in a minute?
No, bring her. Bring her in. On. No, we don't care one bit. So
she was feeding the kids there, getting something out of the mic. So she'll be about a minute.
I don't know if you heard the song or not because we had to switch inputs, but that was the Riley. Was it Riley?
Oh, yeah. Riley Green.
Riley. We do things a little different around here. You had a pretty good rant about that. I don't want to see you every Joe Blow or whatever making a video to that.
Yeah. That got old fast. It got to where it could have been the neatest farm video you've ever seen. And when the minute I heard that song, I had to scroll past it. I was so sick of hearing it. And it's not that I don't like him or the song. I like them both just fine, but it's like, God, I can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
It just God. Every video had that.
Oh man. Yeah. No, that's not anything different. It's like everything the same around here when you hear that song.
So this is the after show. So listener, if you are a sensitive person, if you don't like vulgar language, this is the after show. The Farm for Fun podcast show is over. You can turn us off. We're going to hang out and have a little bit of fun.
Yep.
But
cut that in.
If you want to hang out with us and get the real Growing Corn 2020 experience, stick around
for a couple minutes.
So what started the vulgarity on TikTok? What did I say, it was the rant about the field cultivator, wasn't it? And then it just kind of took off.
I thought it was just cute.
It was either that one or the grain bin. I'd have to go back and look now. It's been too long, but it was one of them days where I'm just like, piss on it. I'm going to let it fly. And if they ban me, they ban me. Yeah. And it just, I mean, everybody just went nuts over it. And of course, you know, and every video, you know, I had to start out with calling somebody a cocksucker or whatever. Just and truthfully, that's how me and my friends talk. You know,
it's
like that joke you see on Facebook. You know, when women get up to leave, if there's five women, one gets up to leave, and they're all like, "Oh, bye, we love you, see you, sweetie." And as soon as she gets out the room, like, "Ah, she's such a bitch." And this and that, where the guys are like, "See you, faggot." Like, man, he's a good dude. You know, so it's just well, that's kind of the way we talk around here. I don't know. Which, I mean, and I will admit the TikTok, it ain't necessarily an act per se, but I do feel like now that's what the people want to hear. So I got to give it to them. So, I mean, it's
a little exaggerated, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it comes somewhat natural, but yet, you know, there's maybe days I don't feel like telling everybody that they're a cocksucker, but I do it anyway.
Yeah, they want it. So you're going to get it.
You need to, like, I have a guy that does a market value on cattle every week, changes his hat. You just need to change your entrance every time. So it's like dirty bastard, bag biter. It's like, it's got to be different every time, and we'll be waiting to see what the next one is.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's went on long enough now, it's like I have legitimately run out of shit to call people.
Yeah, you gotta start.
You're trying to not to do the same thing over and over, but it's like, God, have I called them this yet? So then you gotta make up new words.
have you been? So I've seen some TikTok videos of people monetizing TikTok. Have you been able to get anything out of them for ads or anything like that?
Actually, I could. I guess when you get to 10,000, that's when you can. I think it's 10,000. You can start monetizing, but no, I have never ever signed up for a creator fund, so I do not get.
Tanner, you got 30,000.
10,000 followers?
I think at 10,000 you can monetize.
Jesus. Don't you have to have the, like?
I better sign up.
How does that? How do you even do that?
It's called the creator fund, and actually, my wife, you know, she just got on whatever it was 3 weeks ago, and she's at roughly 11,000. I'd have to look, and she got an email 2-3 days ago that she could now be in the creator fund and start monetizing. So
dang, I've been told
when you sign up for that, your views will drop dramatically.
Oh, really?
I don't know, but they claim. Well, a farm boy Matt told me that he signed up for it, and he's like, my views literally went from 25,000 per video to 2,500 or less. And he actually left it. He's like, I'm not doing that. And he quit. So
he also went back to lip syncing all the videos and dancing.
Exactly.
Right.
So actually, no, I have no idea. I may be leaving $400 a month on the table. I don't know. And I don't really care. It's like, you know, I would rather just be out there in front of people and make people laugh. And maybe, I mean, to me, that's the best comment I get is when somebody says, you know, hey, you just make my day, or I was having a bad day and you made me laugh or whatever. To me, that's worth more than anything. Yeah. Truthfully.
See, I just got dumb lucky. So I was out there messing around videos, like not getting any views. And then when we were on that trip to Morocco, we had a overnight layover in Madrid, Spain. And I took a video of a street performer that was dressed in military combat, you know, stuck in his position. You give him a dollar and then he moves around. And one of the gals that we were with on the trip gave him a fist bump. You know, basically I said a United type post, whatever it's to. And all of a sudden that one got 1 million views. And with a million views came 30,000 followers.
Yeah.
I've been stuck on that 30,000.9 followers since February.
Yep.
Really?
And then I got a video of just tile plow, putting tile in the ground. Nothing special. Has over 3 million views, but I never got the followers that you got behind it. 3 million views.
Yeah, and that's funny how that works. So let's take Chuck Weldon, for example. I don't know if you guys follow him.
Yeah,
or not.
I do.
Yep.
Chuck's a really nice guy out in Missouri. And I think, it was probably July, August, sometime in there. And of course, you know Chuck. He's just a super nice guy. He made a video one day and he kind of shouted me out. And it wasn't nothing bad or making fun of me. It was, I forget what it even was. And so then I come back with the video about, you're such a big deer hunter, then you need to get you a John Deere combine, whatever, because he runs Case IH or whatever. And he went from 2,500 to 8,000 followers like overnight. Mm-hmm. And I've watched, and it's the same way. He's like plateaued now at like 40,000. And it's just been a grind from 38,000 up to 40 now. But me, I still get 300 to 500 followers a day. And which I guess maybe the bigger you get, maybe the more exposure you get. So it's, it becomes easier. I don't know, but. I have noticed that the people get stuck and it's a grind from view to view. You know?
That TikTok auctioneer you were looking at, there's an auctioneer friend of mine, Junior Staggs, who's on from Prairie, Tennessee, and he's got 150,000-160,000 followers now. He's got
the Bell's palsy.
But he's got Bell's palsy right now, and but he got all the viewers long before that. But he just kept asking, like, "Hey, make sure to double click, make sure to double tap, make sure to like all the time." And I just kept going up and up and up. I was like, "Man, that."
Do you try to post at least once a day or multiple times a day?
Actually, I leave mine for the most part to once a day. There's been times where I've dropped maybe two or three if it's been a long day or something's happened or we're farming or whatever. But I try to keep it to once a day just because I feel like then it kind of gets old and redundant in a sense to some degree. You know, so it's like people wait with bated breath. That video may drop at noon. It may drop at 3 o'clock, whenever. It's like you're just waiting for it. And then that's all you get for today. You got to wait till tomorrow. So I don't know if it's right or wrong. That's just the way I kind of do it.
So if you wipe your butt with your right hand, which one do you video with?
There you go.
Once again, it's with my right hand. I got to do everything right hand.
Everything
right. I got a selfie stick.
Selfie stick.
Well.
But the wife's here. Do you guys want to talk to the wife?
Yeah. Bring her in for a second.
Of course. I don't know if you can get on the actual picture here or not, but at least got audio.
Does she go with anything besides Mrs. Growing Corn 2020?
That's fine.
Her name is actually Carolyn. Is
Carolyn. What a pretty name.
We heard if Tony lost his right hand that you would wipe his ass for him.
That's what we heard.
I probably would.
I told you guys. I told you.
He spoke very highly of you.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. It's good to know. He usually does.
Oh man, you guys put out some great stuff. We love having you guys, and yours are better than Tony's.
Which I guess I can tell you guys because this won't come out for a couple of days. But she got caught today. I got home to do this podcast, and the UPS man pulls in the driveway.
Yeah,
and she's like, "I wonder what the UPS man's here." And I'm like, "I don't know. Maybe somebody on TikTok sent something, because hell, there's always something showing up from some random guy on TikTok." You know, she's like, "Well, I don't think I ordered nothing." And the UPS man comes and he gives her this kind of a big envelope. And she looks over the top of her glasses like, "Uh-oh, I've been caught." And she opens it up. fucking gleaner huggy that she's going to She's going to be gone this weekend, so she's going to make a video about how she's laying everything out for me and even had to set my beer out with my huggy and this and that. So,
oh, you are a saint. That is awesome.
Oh, so that reminds me when my wife and I were out for our anniversary last night, she was like, she was acting all weird. And then she's like, all right, I just got to tell you. And I'm like, what? You know, I'm like, are you pregnant? Who? You know, like all this stuff. And she's like, I got a speeding ticket today. She's never had a speeding ticket.
Oh,
like,
man. I got a speeding ticket yesterday, too.
Yes. How many more can you get?
I don't know how many I can get.
You don't have a license
anymore. I think I should get cheaper insurance. I have had like 28 tickets, and I still have never been in an accident. That just shows how good of a driver I am.
That's right. If you can go faster than everybody else.
I go faster than everybody else. You start auctioneering. If you're practicing down a road and you're digga-digga-digga-digga-digga-digga-digga, you just start going faster. That's all there is to it.
Oh my gosh. Brother-in-law was in his one-ton pickup and got pulled over by the DOT.
Yeah.
And that was a big old deal because we had just ruptured a brake line, so we didn't have no brakes. And the back seat of that truck is full of more things than just empty Casey's wrappers.
Oh yeah. Huggies.
And he didn't have the current licensing in the pickup because father-in-law's birthday is in November, so they had just gotten the renewals, and those are all sitting on the shop table. I saw them this morning. So I still haven't gotten that phone call or text message back to see how that actually went.
Mrs. Growing Corn, Caroline, yes. Right?
Yep.
We found some good gleaner songs for you that you need to make some TikTok videos.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Watch your inbox. We'll send those your way.
Said you follow Tony, tell her our usernames, follow us back, and we'll DM you so you can make some good videos.
All right.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll take anything I can to make fun.
He needs it.
Well, Tony, can our listeners get a rant to wrap this up? Can we put you on the spot?
I could tell you one thing that I would like to rant about. If I ever become a billionaire, I'm going to take it upon myself. I'm going to be the fucking person who numbers corn varieties. I am so sick and fucking tired of, I don't care if it's Pioneer who it is. Hey, what'd you plant? Oh, it's PO895GX235G6. It's like, you fucking cocksuckers, make it four digits. I don't care what four you make it. Just make it four fucking digits. I don't need numbers and algebra and all this other fucking shit in it. Just give me four digits. That's all I need. But they can't seem to do that. And I don't care which company it is. It's all this great big fucking long number now. So I'm sick of it. I'm going to fucking take it upon myself that start numbering corn varieties if I'm a billionaire.
There you go. Amen to that.
I think that's going to hit home with a lot of people.
That will hit home with a lot of people.
There can't be that many different corn varieties to go through 9,999 of them.
There is. They just keep adding numbers and letters, and each company's got if it's the same.
You know, when we was all kids, it's like, I was Pioneer 3394. So nowadays, when people ask me, I give them the full fucking meal deal. Well, that's PO896GX32X. You know, whatever the fuck it is. That's the way you fucking want a number, and that's the way I'm going to tell them. So
that's good. That's awesome. I appreciate that.
Yep. No, that's good.
So I feel like we could sit here and talk for hours, but I want to be respectful of your time. I also want to be respectful of my wife, so I can take her to supper tonight.
Yeah. Got a hot date tonight.
Where are you guys going?
Well, we're going to drive to the district in Ankeny and find out what's open.
Okay.
Whiskey River.
Hopefully.
We went to Alba in Des Moines last night.
I saw that.
It was open.
We might do wasabi sushi.
Ah.
No, Tony, very much appreciated. This was a lot of fun. I hope you had a blast.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for having me. It's the first podcast I've ever done, and it was phenomenal.
You're going to have to start your own.
Yeah. I've thought about it. I don't know if I could ever pull that off or not. I don't know if I could find enough stuff to talk about.
I think you can. Not.
Well, if you ever want help, we certainly can be a resource to you. We're not going to be shy about sharing any information. If you want to get one started.
Sure, I appreciate that.
To be fair, when Tanner and I started talking about a podcast like 3 years ago, and then him and Dave did their profit one, which is very businesslike, and then we did this one. This is a filtered version of what I was talking about. Have you ever heard Wheeler Walker?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to do a cross between like Wheeler Walker and Pat McAfee and just straight, like unfiltered, tell it how it is, kind of like your TikTok. I bet you'd get some traction with it.
Yep. Yeah.
So
it's hard to say. You never know.
Yep. So
awesome. No, thank you again. Really, I can't say that enough. This was a blast. I really appreciate that. And I look forward to staying in touch in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Call or text anytime, man. Yep. Anytime.
Nice to meet you.
Yep. Let's grow together.
Yep. Awesome. Thank you.
Yep.
See ya.
Thank you guys.
See ya.
See ya.